Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More now on the firing of James Comey. With us next is Washington Post columnist Jennifer Rubin, who writes their conservative Right Turn blog, but has also been a severe critic of Donald Trump. In fact, the post that she just put up this morning is called, "If Trump Fired Comey Over Russia, He Must Go." Wow. Thanks for doing this, Jennifer. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's always nice to be here, Brian.
You're raising the specter of impeachment.
I am. I think it's not all that complicated, and people trying to make it more complicated than it is, I think, are sort of deceiving themselves. If, in fact, Donald Trump, who reportedly was fuming about Russia and railing at Comey for not following up on his crazy allegation that President Obama had wiretapped Trump and was continuing to investigate with full vigor the Russia investigation, if that is the underlying reason and the reason proffered and the accusation that this all stemmed from the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, are false, then he has obstructed justice. That is the definition. He has concocted a phony reason. He has removed someone for the express purpose of slowing down the train, and that is obstruction. It may not rise to the level of criminality because there may be missing proof, but that is grounds for impeachment. He has attempted to fire the person, he has fired the person, who is investigating him for collusion with the Russians. It's absolutely stunning to me. And the fact that there are some Republicans who continue to defend this or pretend as if, well, Comey wasn't doing a good job, or after all, he was wrong in how he handled the 2016 election, I think are just foolish.
Well, how do you explain Rod Rosenstein, who I believe was originally a George W. Bush appointee, but Obama retained him? He was the U.S. attorney for Maryland. I think he had the support of Elijah Cummings in that job and other Democrats when Obama retained him. And then Trump retained him and made him deputy attorney general. And when Sessions recused himself from the Russia campaign investigation, Russia and the campaign investigation, because of his own misstatements to Congress, Rosenstein became the deputy attorney general in charge of the Russia investigation, and he hung this all on how Comey blew it multiple ways in the Clinton investigation and said nothing about Russia. So Rod Rosenstein is Trump's excuse or reason or rationale, or I don't know what to call Rod Rosenstein. What do you know about him?
Well, you correctly recite his background, and so I think this has stunned. I've been on the phone all morning talking to former Justice Department officials, former U.S. attorneys, and they're kind of stunned that somehow, at some level, he got roped into this. I would like to hear him testify under oath, to put it mildly. What was the question he was asked that resulted in this memo? Was he asked, do you think that the handling of the Hillary Clinton emails was a fireable offense, and this is the memo that he wrote? That doesn't really tell us whether that was the real reason for the firing. He's answering a different question than was, in essence, the reason for Comey's firing. That is the most generous explanation I can think of at this point, that they sort of used him. He wrote an indictment, and they said, okay, this will work, and they slapped it onto Comey because Trump wanted to get rid of him. Whether that's true or not, we're going to have to find out. But we know that the proffered reason is wrong, because Trump didn't think that Comey acted improperly in July of 2016. He praised him. He praised him again in October when he intervened in the election. So, of course, this isn't the reason why Donald Trump fired him. That has no connection to what Rosenstein has written. Trump's behavior and his allegations and his continued insistence that really she really should have been prosecuted, in fact, are completely at odds with the reason that was proffered. It's the most classic case of a transparent lie.
The New York Times just released a new wrinkle based on their reporting. It says Days before he was fired, James Comey, the former FBI director, asked the Justice Department for a significant increase in money and personnel for the Bureau's investigation into Russia's interference in the presidential election, according to three officials with knowledge of his request. If that's new to you, do you take it to mean much?
Sure. I think one of the critical questions is, when did Trump decide to make this decision? What was the event that prompted it? And who spoke to who in terms of getting the job done? The way the vice president explains it, the way the Trump administration explains it, Rod Rosenstein, on his own, 2 weeks into the job, came up with the idea of writing this memo and recommending that the FBI director be fired. That is simply implausible on its face. And I think the timing, the sequence of events is critical here. We're going to have to hear from Mr. Comey under oath. We're going to have to hear from Mr. Rosenstein under oath. We're going to have to hear from people who work with him and were privy to whatever conversations and emails that were transpiring.
Susan in Caldwell, New Jersey. You're on WNYC with Jennifer Rubin from The Washington Post. Hi, Susan.
How are you? Good morning.
Okay.
I'm calling because I feel like there's a story that's been underreported regarding the timeline of everything with the grand jury subpoenas that the FBI issued like just hours before Comey's firing yesterday. And I think that on its face, what your guest is saying is that it's just incredible for anyone to, with a straight face, say this has to do with anything other than the Russia investigation. And I was listening to your other guests from previously the one regarding Watergate. Is mm-hmm. that there is the timeline? It doesn't make any sense. It has to do regarding like how close Comey is to getting something. He is close. He is very close. And I know obviously they're not talking about it, but he has to be literally inches away from getting something connecting Flynn and Trump and Russia, and that the timing is just incredible.
Susan, I'm glad you brought up the subpoena story because it was on my list and I hadn't gotten to it this morning. So let me put this out there, and probably most of you haven't heard this yet. I guess it would be bigger news this morning were it not for Comey being fired, that the Senate Intelligence Committee, according to CNN, and I'm not sure if other news organizations too, but I believe Mark Warner, the ranking Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, told CNN that the committee is requesting from the Treasury Department some of Donald Trump's financial records as part of its Russia investigation, also more records pertaining to Michael Flynn. Warner said it's part of the overall effort to follow the intel no matter where it leads. Jennifer, are you aware of what they might be looking for, subpoenaing the some financial records of President Trump?
I think they're looking for some ties. The president has made a very definitive statement over and over again that he has nothing to do with Russia. He has no business deals. He has no ties whatsoever. And obviously, there are questions about that. If I can give a plug, I have a piece up at the Washington Post right now called The Walls Are Closing In. This is one of those walls that is closing in. One is the grand jury that's obviously pursuing in some fashion Mr. Flynn. One is this financial inquiry that is going on. And then, of course, there is the work of the FBI, which does go on, although Mr. Trump has made it perhaps more difficult. There are, of course, investigators, career officials, and it's going to be interesting to see what comes out. I don't think that these people are going to take kindly to an attempt, a heavy-handed attempt from the White House to clamp down on the FBI, to mess with their director, who was quite popular with the Bureau, quite popular with agents. So it's going to be very interesting what we start learning. And if we thought there were a lot of leaks before, button down the hatches, because I think we're going to get a flood right now.
Huh. Well, I saw defenders of Trump on television use pretty much what you just said as a rationale for why Trump would not be firing Comey over the Russia investigation, which is to say that there are so many other investigations, or enough other investigations into Russia going on, and the suspicion about a link between this firing and a desired cover-up would be so strong that these other venues that are investigating Trump and Russia would are going to get to the bottom of it anyway. So why fire Comey over Russia?
That's an argument for why he shouldn't have fired Comey. It's not an argument for why he didn't fire him over Russia. Because, of course, just what they explain, that it's going to raise all kinds of suspicions, is going to be really sort of red meat for the investigators, has already happened. So obviously he either thought this was worth it because Comey is, as the listener put it, just on the verge of getting something, or he is so deluded into thinking that his actions can't be questioned because someone told him that the FBI director serves at the pleasure of the president, that he went ahead and did this. So all it shows is that he's completely tone deaf, completely sort of disassociated from reality, that he thought that this would not create a firestorm. The motive for it really isn't illuminated by that, just the decision to do it is. So really, it was so bad. Whatever he did in, remember, July of 2016 is good enough to justify the firestorm he's created now. That doesn't make sense either.
On this notion that the walls are closing in, you know that part of Trump's letter to Comey said, while I greatly appreciate you informing me on three separate occasions that I am not under investigation, I nevertheless concur with the judgment that you are not able to effectively lead the Bureau. What does that refer to? On three separate occasions, you inform me that I am not under investigation?
We really don't know. The first question I have is, why was the President of the United States questioning the FBI director about an ongoing investigation of him? So that's question number one. Question number two is, what was it that Comey actually said? Because as we know, Trump doesn't exactly relate things with perfect accuracy, being sarcastic, of course. So what was it that Comey actually said? And third of all, that obviously contradicts testimony that Comey has given in public, which says that there is an ongoing investigation into whether there was collusion between the Trump administration and the Russians. And obviously, part of that is an investigation as to whether Trump personally colluded. It would be insane not to investigate that as they're going along and investigating whether campaign officials below him did this. So something isn't right. And the fact that Trump would throw this poorly phrased, semi-inarticulate phrase into the middle of a letter tells me two things. One, he is still very, very nervous. And number two, there is no one in the White House to ever tell him no, because this is so obviously off topic and bringing Russia back into it, frankly. Remember, this wasn't supposed to be about Russia at all, that any sensible advisor to the president would have told him to take this out. And they either were afraid to or they did, and he disregarded them.
Melanie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Jennifer Rubin. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering what the date on that letter from the assistant district attorney actually says, the attorney general, I mean. I mean, when was that actually written? Sounds to me like something that Trump just pulled out of the file from when he first fired Sally Yates and just slapped his name on it yesterday and sent it.
Yeah, it was dated yesterday, but any reason to think, Jennifer, or any evidence that this was sitting around for a while and Trump was waiting for the moment?
We don't know that. That's one of the questions we want to ask Mr. Rosenstein. When did you draft this? Who asked you to draft it? What was the purpose of drafting it? What did you think it was going to be used for? Those are all excellent questions, and we don't yet have answers to them.
Eli in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eli.
Hi. So there's a lot of hysteria, understandably so, surrounding Comey leaving, but I know that he was slated to maybe be meeting with Congress again, speaking before them. I feel like people are talking about he's died, and I want to know what role he could possibly have moving forward, being that he's the person who knew where they were at in this investigation.
That's a good question. What does he do now? What can he say now?
He didn't leave, of course. He was fired. But he is a private citizen. He can respond to subpoenas. He can talk without a subpoena. He can provide documents. The White House is going to lean on him, claiming all kinds of executive privileges, all kinds of attorney-client privileges. But ultimately, he can decide for himself what he wants to say in what forum. And I suspect we've not heard the end of him.
And what's the mechanism for holding Mr. Rosenstein accountable and answering the questions that you were just posing about him? And we've got about 20 seconds left.
Again, he can be subpoenaed by either or both branches of Congress. He can be questioned by the FBI as to his involvement in this. There are lots of ways to require people to speak, and sooner or later, I think he's going to have to account for himself.
Do the Republicans or enough Republicans seem seriously disturbed enough by this to get to the bottom of it officially?
I think we're really on the cusp. We saw 5, 6, 7 of them come out saying they're very disturbed, deeply disturbed, question the timing. So we're going to see. It's going to need a few more to have a critical mass. But I was somewhat surprised, pleasantly so, that as many came out as critically as they did so early on.
Washington Post right turn blogger Jennifer Rubin. Jennifer, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.